Jonathan.
Well, hi, Inez. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? I love that you started this.
Is there a camera feature on this or no?
No, it's just audio.
Okay, great.
So that's great. So full disclosure, I'm sitting in my sweatshirt at the bottom of my bedroom because that has the best audio. So
that's okay. I'm a suit and tie guy, so yeah. That's okay.
And nobody's getting to see that today.
That's fine. That's fine. I do it for myself. I know that sounds crazy, but that's
no, that's true. I have in my apartment complex has this really cool clubhouse area, so it's actually working the whole morning from up there. So that was pretty nice. Love it.
And where are you living?
I am based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. I just moved here 2 months ago from LA. Where are you?
Manhattan.
Nice. Yeah, that's probably a different vibe than Cincinnati for sure.
I actually avoided applying to a rabbinical school because it was in Cincinnati. Not so much it was Cincinnati. It just was, they were going to pick where I had to go to school. And I was like, hell no, I didn't join the army. No one's going to do that to me.
Wait, so you've
So in addition to being a CPA, just one second. I'm an ordained rabbi in addition to being a CPA. And the school wanted to essentially pick one school that was applying to had three campuses, Hebrew Union College, and they wanted to establish which campus they would have sent me to. Essentially, you don't pick. So they have a campus in New York, they have a campus in Cincinnati, they have a campus in Los Angeles, and they assign which one to go. And I was like, hell no. I'm not in the army. No one's going to do that to me.
No, it's crazy because when I wasn't originally like thinking of moving here, but then my friend who had just moved here from the Bay Area, she was like, you should come check it out. Like, it's really cool. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'm going to move to Ohio. Like, you got to be kidding me. And then I really came out here and I really liked it. It was really more of a spur of the moment situation.
I'm sure it's affordable. It's cute. It's affordable.
Yeah.
You see the elements and about the San Francisco price.
Correct. Yes, you get it. So that's really cool. So I'm actually, I am in Covington, Kentucky, which is just across the Ohio River. Mm-hmm. So my apartment basically oversees Cincinnati, which is really cool. I have to say, other than gas and rent, the rest is pretty much the same price. Like, cocktails are also like $14, which is like LA price for me. There's not much difference, but the people are definitely way more friendly because I feel like there's a lot of the Southern charm that comes out here. So I've always felt like people in LA are pretty rude-ish. So, I like that a lot so far.
That's awesome.
And the cold weather doesn't seem to bother me so far. I mean, I'm originally from Germany. I'm used to really cold weather, so.
Where are you from in Germany?
I'm from Stuttgart.
Okay. Yeah, so cold weather shouldn't bother you.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't bother me. Actually, just 10 minutes ago, I booked my a trip to the motherland. I haven't been in 3 years, so
historically, you had a large German population in Cincinnati,
and I did not know that until I moved here. It was crazy.
From the 1840, the 1848. There's a lot of people that moved out. So from then, a lot of people moved to Cincinnati, or a significant.
There's a lot of German words here, like the street names and stuff, and everybody pronounces it obviously different than I would pronounce it, which is always kind of funny. So yeah, cool. Well, I am excited to have you on here. I mean, you've never used Clubhouse before, so there's probably a few people that will pop in and pop out. It's usually how this works. And it's also really cool. The feature is that we have replays on, which means that whoever wants to go back and kind of listen to what we said, like, they can do that, which is cool.
Okay, great.
And I want to start off by saying thank you to Lunify for making this possible that I can be here and interview you, Jonathan, to hear all about taxes, because to be honest, taxes are one thing that give me a lot of anxiety. And when I talk to my fellow freelancing friends, they always have the same feelings around taxes. I feel like bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes is something that nobody wants to do, but we have to do. Very excited to have you on here. And so we just want to deep dive in with, do you want to introduce yourself, what it is you do? And then I can talk a little bit about how we connect this.
Sure. So my name is Jonathan Meadows. I am a CPA based out of New York City. And I focus on taxation for freelancers and small businesses.
Okay. Cool. Let me just see here real quick. Something seems to be wrong with the tool. I don't know what's going on. Okay, nice. And my name is Ines. I run a social media agency. I worked in corporate for a little bit over 5 years. I worked for Mercedes-Benz in Germany, worked for them in Silicon Valley, worked for them in Long Beach in their research and development division. And then June 2020, I was laid off because of COVID and then started my own social media agency out of this. And now I work with really cool clients like Lunify and get to do really cool stuff like interview you on here. So
very nice.
Very excited about that. Okay, cool. First tax question. How are taxes for anybody that's self-employed like myself? How is that different from people that are full-time employed?
So it's conceptually, it's the same. Bottom line, okay. You earn income, you need to pay taxes on what you earn. However, when you're self-employed, you need to do a bit more work to get to the point where your tax liability is determined. You need to gather income from various sources. Then you need to keep track of your expenses, which is probably the most laborious part of the task. And then based upon your profit, which is revenue less business expenses, that's what's going to drive your tax bill. So if I'm an employee of Mercedes-Benz, I get a W-2. It says $100,000. That's what I'm going to pay taxes on. Luna, when you work for yourself, you can have $100,000 coming in, but you can have $50,000 in expenses. And if you don't track the $50,000 in expenses, you're going to be overpaying taxes. So that's the big difference, the amount of work to get to the bottom line.
Okay, so I guess the lesson learned here is make sure to always track everything. Use a tool that tracks all your expenses.
Stay on top of it. I would say also try to do, I'm a CPA. I do this several times a day. I run a small firm once a week, once a month. It's something that people should keep track of.
Okay. So now, if,
so, there's one oh, yeah, other so, piece. There's one mm-hmm. other piece. So mm-hmm. essentially when you work as a freelancer, for most people, it's a year that they get paid. That they have a tax liability as opposed to the year that they do the job. This is a distinction. You work, again, let's use our example, Mercedes-Benz. You work for them for a project. You bill them $10,000. If they don't pay you by December 31st, that's not taxable income in the year that you earned it.
I think Jonathan just got a call because I got the little feature thing. Oh, no, you're back. Okay, cool.
Okay. So it's a slight, subtle distinction, but it's an important one that people need to keep in mind.
I think you got a call because, like, the last few seconds of what you said were breaking off, but I think that what you were saying was that W-2 basically goes January 1st to December 31st, but if as a freelancer I bill somebody and don't get paid until January 3rd of the following year, then that income will not go towards the previous year. Is that correct?
Correct. It's a year that you get paid. So gotcha. Bottom line, if you had a bill outstanding at the end of December 31st, 2021, and subsequently get paid in 2022, it's a 2022 taxable event.
That is so interesting that you're actually saying this, because I had the exact same situation mm-hmm. with a different client. And they were like, oh, but it will be on your 1099 that you get for 2021. I'm like, well, but if it doesn't hit my bank account until 2022, how can I even, like, you know, I wouldn't be able to categorize it as a sale.
Right. So some companies will send out a check at the last day or the day thereafter, and they'll claim it as a 2021 event because they mailed it. And unfortunately, that's something that you have to live with, because what drives tax bills of the IRS is the 1099 that the company issues. And if you don't report the correct amount that's on a 1099, you can get a letter from the government saying, hey, you reported $90,000. Well, based upon the 1099s that we received, we see $100,000 in income. You have a gap. Here's a bill. Here are penalties. Here are interests. You can fix it, but it can be a draconian process to correct with the IRS.
I'm writing a mental to-do post-it note for myself right now to make sure that I don't get into that situation.
Sorry. I've been doing this for several years, so I see a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I remember even, like, I had, like, their finance person on the phone, and she was, like, trying to explain this to me, and I was just like, this, I guess, makes sense on your end, but it doesn't make sense on my end. Anyways. Cool. Okay. So I guess the big lesson learned here is always keep track of your records and everything, and,
Okay, no cool. Surprises.
No surprises. That's a good one. Okay, so what's an easy way to estimate my taxes for the next season? Which is actually a very interesting question, because I had the same discussion with a good friend of mine who's a financial advisor, and she just pays the same amount quarterly taxes, which I guess makes sense for her. But for me, what I noticed my business, it's very it's not every month I don't have the same income. Like, usually my summer months are pretty wild. And then towards December, January, February, that's when my business is kind of like slow-ish compared to summer. So I really can do quarterly tax payments based on an amount that I think I'll make. So I'll just, what I do is, like, I always go in and kind of see, like, hey, last quarter, how much sale did I make? And then from there, how much federal.
Well, that's a methodology. So there's a couple of methodologies. Number one, you can pay something called based upon previous years, and either 100 or 110% you can pay based upon the previous year's income, and it's called safe harbor, meaning you don't know, you just pay what you paid owed last year. You won't have a penalty, which we'll get into later, I'm sure, but you may have a big bill, or you can do what you're doing. Take a look what you're doing every month and adjusting things up and down. It depends upon your profits.
But for that, I have to say, I never take my expenses into consideration. So I just go based on how much sale did I make. So I hope that I'm overpaying at this point.
Oh, that's not. I mean, it's never seemed to be more conservative, although the problem with being conservative is cash flow. Because when you run your own business,
yeah,
you need money. And I find that's the biggest impediment for growth for a lot of small businesses.
That is actually a good point. Yeah, my friend was like, you're definitely overpaying, like, you don't even take any of your expenses into consideration. I was like, oh, I hope I am. So, because I remember last year was my first year doing taxes, being self-employed, and I was not prepared. That bill came in hot, and I was not prepared for that. So I was like, we're not doing that this year. So ever since then, I started paying quarterly taxes, but definitely the expenses are in something.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
It's not an uncommon issue. I see this all the time. It's not an uncommon issue.
Okay. Okay. Let's say we have somebody that has a full-time job, is W-2 employed, and is also starting a side hustle. How is that side hustle going to affect their taxes?
If they get paid to do work, it's a taxable event. So how does it affect it? You're going to owe more money.
Yeah.
How much? Function of what your profit is. So the IRS has been cracking down. It's been in the news of late that they're cracking down on Venmos and PayPals and other places where people get paid
for
these positions. And essentially the government's changing the rules so that next year they're requiring these electronic platforms to report any amounts paid to them, 600 or more. So the government's aware that people are engaging inside businesses, and there's going to be increased scrutiny to make sure that the income's reported.
Gotcha. I only read about something that PayPal, I don't know why, but I don't know that you shouldn't be using PayPal anymore because they're whatever. So I mean, I don't even use any Venmo or PayPal at all anymore. So, but definitely heard about something like that before. Okay, cool. So the moment you have more than $600 on self-employed income, you need to tell the IRS.
Well, you need to tell the IRS. If you earn a dollar, you should be telling the IRS.
Gotcha.
What the government's going to be aware of, though, is if you're paid $600 or more, the government will have third-party records if you're getting paid through one of these electronic platforms.
Got it. Okay. What is your recommendation for reducing taxes in general? I'm pretty sure that's like a question you get a lot of people come to, you know, like, oh my God, I'm paying so much taxes. Like, well, what should I do?
I think we touched about, first thing is keep good records of your business expenses. Have a sense of what's deductible. It has to be ordinary and necessary for your trade and profession. So, for example, just to be a little self-centered, but it's easiest to speak about yourself. In my profession, mm-hmm. I have a lot of technology spends, computers, software, office yeah. supplies, errors and omissions insurance, sort known as malpractice insurance, property yeah. insurance. These are things that I keep track of. They add up. And this reduces my taxable liability. Second thing that I do is would encourage people to be aware of potentially putting money towards retirement, 401ks, self-employed IRAs. There are other retirement vehicles that potentially may reduce their tax burden. Third, maybe some continuing education that can not only enhance your skill sets, but if structured correctly, will be a deductible business expense. For example, as part of my profession, I have to do continuing education by law. So that enhances my current skill sets. It helps me to make more money because I know more stuff. So I would say be strategic in how you're spending your money. Do it in such a way that it will make you more money, either giving you tools that will make you work quickly or create better work or increase your skill sets. Be cognizant of retirement planning. Be cognizant of estimated taxes because that will also save you money because you won't incur penalties for not paying taxes on time.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's actually, I mean, last year and also this year, I spent a huge chunk of my income on personal development expenses, hired a business coach, took a bunch of classes. And so that was definitely, hopefully, in favor when it comes to this tax season in terms of write-offs. So I'm excited about that.
Right. I'm thinking about taking an HTML class because I have a lot of websites, by example. That would be deductible because I hire people. I need to supervise them.
Yeah.
I'm deeply involved and I need to supervise them and maybe I can take some of it over myself and save some costs and or enhance it myself. So that's an example of something that's tangentially related to business. You can make a plausible argument. It's not crazy. If you take a couple of computer classes these days, it's not so crazy because every business needs something with technology.
Yeah. And something I wanted to talk about because you mentioned it was 401k and retirement account. Mm-hmm. I mean, right, every situation, every person is different, depending mm-hmm. on, I mean, I honestly...
Well, it also depends upon, is this your full-time activity? Do you have a 401k yeah. at work? There are certain rules about when you have multiple 401ks, what you can do. You just have to be cognizant of them.
Yeah. But from what I heard, I still have until March or April of this year to pay my 2021 contribution.
SEP IRAs and solo 401ks, you have until you file your tax returns, presuming you file an extension. A regular IRA will be April 18th or unless they change the filing deadline subsequent to where the new deadline is.
Gotcha. Because I still have to
Here's the rationale. If you have a SEP IRA or solo 401k or another version of this, the amount of money that you can contribute is a function of your business profit. And you really don't know your business profit until you have your returns prepared. So that's why they've extended that.
Wait, say that again. You don't have
to. So essentially, for a solo 401k or SEP IRA, you can't just throw money into them. It's a function of your business profit. So the amount that you can contribute to these plans is a function of your business profit. So you need to prepare your tax returns prior to funding these to make sure that the amount you're going to contribute is appropriate.
That does make sense. Okay.
Yeah, they don't want people to dump all their income into an IRA and then say they don't have any taxable income. The government's encouraging retirement, but they put constraints on how much money you can set aside for retirement each year.
Got it. Okay, cool. The next question I told you I wanted to ask, but I think, I mean, we both kind of like touched base on that before. What should any freelancer do throughout the year to avoid headaches during tax season? I mean, obviously, right, keep records of your books, make sure mm-hmm. you track your business expenses properly. Don't mix mm-hmm. it with personal expenses, which I hear all the time that people do. And I'm always like, mm-hmm. why the heck would you do that? Great tool for that, obviously, Lunify, because it helps you split personal and business expenses. That's really cool. But any other tips and advice of what you think in general that should apply to everybody?
Sure. Have a sense of what are appropriate business expenses. Keep receipts. So in case of an audit, you have documentary proof of what you're spending is for a legitimate business purpose.
Oh, about that. Do I need a receipt for every single like $5 bill?
I personally advocate that because I've been in these audit situations, and frankly, to the extent that you show stuff, you're never going to have 100% of receipts. Heck, I go on a train, I go to a client in New York City from my office to a client, I don't get a receipt. So to the extent that you have it, you'll get the benefit of the doubt. If you walk into one of these things, it's a fight. If you walk into one of these things paper light, you have an uphill battle. But if you walk in fully documented, it puts the auditor at ease and things go much smoother.
Do you keep yours in like a cloud? I mean, you obviously don't keep the paper stack. You probably take a photo of it and file it somewhere.
Well, I have staff that we do this. We keep hard copies, and I also virtualize that. But that's, I also have a small team here, so my receipts will maybe a little bit bigger than a typical freelancer. But I actually do both.
Good. Okay. Cool. Any other?
But digital images are fine. By the way, that's not an issue.
Yeah, I think I started it by like filing it per month, and then at some point I stopped. And so I was like, "Oh, if they ever want me, I'll just go through my emails." Probably not.
The problem is that if you have an issue, it might be 2 or 3 years subsequent to when you spent the money, and those items may not be available.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to head off a headache, do your homework ahead of time.
That's very true. Okay, cool. Any other advice on like what
people? Any other advice that I would have?
Should be doing throughout the year to avoid it, or like in general, how to like prepare?
I would say definitely keep track of revenue, expenses, receipts. Start speaking to people. Start getting professional help. If you're looking for an accountant in March on April 15th, he or she's going to be busy. Yeah. Have a sense. Can you do this yourself, or do you need help?
Yes.
When do you feel you need help? You feel you're over your head, or you don't have the. It's usually two things. Either you're just over your head. Like, I know computers, by example. I can do a few things. Other things, I just don't have the skill sets. Or I can do it. I'm just too busy. And it's cheaper for me to pay someone to do it because I'm making more money doing my job as opposed to doing other things. So those are usually the two places that I find where people need help.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's actually a good question. I am even...
And there's one other.
Okay, what's the other one? Jonathan?
Yes, I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm on my cell phone, so I occasionally get a phone call and overrides it. So one other thing is also having a sense of state and local tax obligations that you may owe. Because you're running a business. So I live in New York City. There are certain business taxes that trigger at certain events, at certain amounts of profit that you need to know. And as a freelancer, you may miss it if you don't know the universe of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, it's separate and apart from income taxes, I would say just be cognizant if you're doing something that's subject to sales tax. Some services are subject to sales tax in the U.S. So if you're selling a product, most likely it's subject to sales tax. If you're doing some services, it's most likely subject to sales tax. So you need to understand that as well. And if what you're doing is subject to sales tax, make sure you do the appropriate registrations.
Gotcha.
Because in this environment of increased reporting of electronic payments, I think the next gateway is going to be in is the states are going to realize that they have a treasure trove of data, and they're going to start comparing to what people are doing or getting a sense of what people are doing and start looking for people that are not paying sales tax.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Okay, well, I mean, to sum up what you said, I think having like an overall general feeling of like, would you have to pay as like a business owner? Definitely. Read up on your stuff, people. So cool. That was actually, it was a really good answer. I really liked everything you said. Coming back to, we talked about this earlier, quarterly taxes.
Mm-hmm.
why should I pay those? Do I need to pay those? Or can I also just pay, can I just keep the money somewhere in like a savings account and then pay it once a year and just be like, okay, I'll pay the penalty for that.
Okay. Well, number one, if you don't pay it, as you mentioned, you may have a penalty for not paying estimated taxes. Number two, some people have a propensity to spend what they have and they may get themselves into trouble. A lot of freelancers that I deal with, not a lot, but a portion of them, the first couple of years, they don't realize they have taxes. And what it comes as a surprise that they owe as much as they do. And in some cases, I have people who will come to me five to 10 years worth of tax returns that filed because they got in over their head because they didn't properly plan. So it's as long as you're paying enough taxes so you don't get a penalty, that's all I'm concerned about. However, you have to understand yourself personality-wise. Would you be comfortable to write a check for $10,000 or $20,000 when tax time comes? Some people say yes. Some people say no. So that's part of it as well. By paying the government, you're not spending your money on stupid, foolish things.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's just also, I would say, like more of a protecting.
It's a combination
yourself.
Of penalty abatement slash not getting yourself into trouble for when the day actually comes that you owe money.
Yeah. Like definitely be responsible and like know that you have to pay that amount. Mm-hmm. Not to be like, oh yeah, I spend it on.
I mean, I squirrel money away for estimated taxes every quarter. It stinks when I have to cut that check, but that's why it's there.
Yeah. I mean, it hurts either way, so. Cool. How do my taxes change according to which industry I work in? Is there a difference? Like, let's say, I don't know, like I work in the creative space. Is that different from somebody that, I don't know, sells actual products or has an Etsy store or something like that?
And the question is, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question.
The question was, how do taxes change according to the industry that I work in? Like for me, like I work in the creative space. So let's say like our taxes for people that work in social media or in photography, videography, is there like a different things they should be taken into consideration than somebody that sells maybe actual products or so?
Good question. So I would say bottom line, your profits was driving your taxes. As I mentioned before, some of these services that people do or selling products may also be subject to sales tax that people should be cognizant of. But ultimately, no. The only thing I would say is based upon what you're doing, I would encourage people to speak with a CPA to see whether an entity structure could potentially save them money on taxes or allow them to do more aggressive forms of tax planning, or an attorney to see if an entity structure potentially may mitigate some risk for some of the work that they're doing as well.
Got it. Okay. How does working with a CPA in general look like, and why would you, obviously as being one, suggest that I get one? I mean, I already have one, but like if for anybody else. And the third question is, do you think it's important that my CPA understands the industry that I work in?
So I would say that it's very important that you work with someone that understands, maybe not necessarily the ins and outs of dog grooming, but gets the ins and outs of how you're making money. Mm-hmm. And someone that you can speak with, someone that you have a decent rapport, someone that can answer your questions, someone that's responsible on top of things. Because end of the day, if a CPA misses a filing because they're too busy, it's ultimately your headache. It's not the CPA's headache. They're going to come after you. So you have to deal with someone who you feel is responsible, someone who knows what they're doing, and someone who you have a decent rapport with. It's like any relationship, attorney, doctor, they can be a great person. It may not be a right fit for you because they can't speak. They're not giving the right advice, or not giving you enough time, or just don't click.
Got it. Okay. But like how in general does it look like working with a CPA? If you want to like tell everybody that listens to this recording later on that doesn't have one right now. So.
Okay. I mean, so it depends upon what you need with. A lot of my clients, for example, just come in to me during tax time and they need me to help with filing taxes. So I would say that it, bottom line, what it looks like for most self-employed people would be them giving data to a CPA, giving the CPA time to prepare it, the CPA giving the person a draft, and then you taking the the client taking the responsibility to ask questions, make sure that everything's good, and then make sure things are finalized. Those are essentially the steps in the process.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Are there any important changes to any tax rules compared to 2021 to 2022?
Yeah, there are a couple. So if you recall, the government gave some stimulus payments earlier in the year. There was a third stimulus payment. Okay. So if people did not get it, they might be able to claim it. And also there was an advanced child care credit, children. There was a credit that we're giving for children that was expanded, but there were some advanced payments. So those need to be accounted for in your tax returns. Finally, crypto. The government's still on a vengeance for that. So if you have crypto, make sure to check the box that you have. And if you have any income, to make sure you report it.
Oh, so now you have to pay taxes on crypto?
You always have to pay taxes on crypto.
Oh, didn't know that.
To the extent that you made money. I mean, even if you merely own it, you need to pay. You have to just check a box reporting that you own it. A lot of people don't realize that, and they're trying to crack down on this. Crypto is going to be an area that's going to see increased enforcement. They're making noise about it, but you'll actually see enforcements. And then also, as a reminder, unemployment benefits at the federal level now are taxable. At the state level, depending upon the state, may be taxable. I know a lot of people earlier in 2021 were still on unemployment, so make sure that you report that as well.
Got it. What about deductions? Are they still?
By and large, the same. They expanded the deduction for people having meals in restaurants to 100%, except there were business meals. For people that take the standard deduction, there's a certain amount of charity that also can be taken, even if you're taking the standard deduction as well. So a couple small things, nothing major.
Got it. Okay. And business meals, always an interesting one. How does the type of business formation that I have? I mean, I'm an LLC S corp, mm-hmm. But I have a lot of friends that are
they're just sole proprietors working under their name.
Yeah. How does that impact the taxes in general?
So if you're an S corporation, there's some caveats, certain rules. You have to be able to pay yourself payroll. There's some additional compliance requirements with it. There's a potentiality to save money, but you would need to prepare your S corp tax return or entity tax return, or C corp as well, prior to doing your individual tax return, specifically the S corp. And you may get something called a K-1 for members of multi-member LLCs or S corporations, which you need to incorporate as part of your personal tax return.
Got it. And if I'm a sole proprietor, then my income is just normal. Like my business income
is a separate schedule that's a part of your 1040 tax return. And if you're a C corporation, that's a separately filed return that should not have an impact on your personal tax return. Save if you have dividend income. Or W-2 from that business, you may also need to report that in your business tax return. I always encourage clients to do their business tax returns first and then do their individual tax returns.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Nice. Anything else that you think we didn't talk about that are important for anybody that's either new to freelancing or has done this a while now and still has anxiety about taxes like I do?
If you have anxiety, get some help. That's my take. Not because I'm doing an advertisement for myself.
Yeah.
If you have anxiety, money can solve some of your anxiety. So that's a good thing. That's why you have money. I would say maybe do some reading about the subject. That can always help. It can't hurt. There's articles in various places. I know I write for the Freelancers Union, for example. I have some articles that are up there periodically, which has some topics. There are other places. There are books. Taxes for Dummies is not a bad place to start on things. Become more educated on the subject, I would say. But know your limitations. There's nothing wrong to say, you know what, I need help. But that being said, unless you're paying someone a boatload of money to take care of everything, you're still going to have input in the process.
Yeah. No, I notice that now. My CPA sent me a clear list of like things that I need to fixed before she can even start her work. So
Exactly. I mean, I know real crazy people have, they have family CFOs, but that's another stratosphere. So for normal people, unfortunately, you can't fully wash your hands and just say you deal with it. At a minimum, they're going to need the documents from you.
Yeah, exactly.
You want them to help you. So you definitely need some help.
For sure. Awesome. Well, one last final thank you to Lunify for making this possible. Go check them out in the App Store. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on here. This was incredibly helpful. I have so much homework to do. I'm going to get on that right now. Starting with figuring out my 1099 scenario. Yes. From
and then also, since you mentioned 1099, just remember that anyone you paid $600 or more, you need to issue a 1099 before month end. So please get on top of that as well.
Yeah. Oh, before January end.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Cool. I have 10 days. Awesome.
Good luck. All right.
Thank you.
Stay warm. Take care.
Thank you. Talk soon. Bye.